Y'all all know where Genesis is, don't you? All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And this morning, we'll look at this thought today. The beginning of time. We know this is the beginning of creation as God tells us the things that takes place over the next 7 days here. But I want you to really focus this morning on the importance of time. The Bible says right here that one of the first things that God did was divide the darkness from the light that He created. The Bible says that it was the first day. Then for 6 consecutive days, He made all things. And on that 6th day, He made man. The 7th day, He rested. So I want you to realize this morning the importance of time in our lives. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we love You and we thank You, dear God, for this time, God, You've given us, Lord. In this place, Lord, we ask You, Heavenly Father, Lord, for Your blessings today, God, for Holy Spirit unction, God, we ask You for Your touch today, Lord. I pray You touch hearts and lives today, God, with that, Lord, that You've given me to share today, God. Help me, O Lord, I pray, and help Your people today, Lord. God, we love You. God, we thank You for all You do for us, Lord. We're debtors to Your goodness and Your grace, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, there's something about time that God, who knows no time, no boundaries of time with God. You know, eternity is hard for me to comprehend. I don't know about you, but the God of eternity stepped out on nothing one day and He spoke all things into existence. And you know, our lives are so focused on time. I'm sure this morning you probably done looked at your clock or looked at your phone or watch on your arm. You focused on time. Every minute of our day, we pattern our lives by time. And it seems like we never have enough time, don't it? There's probably things in your life that you say, well, I hadn't got time to do that today. I'll do it tomorrow. But you know, the Bible says for us not to boast about tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. And so I want to know, what is time? What is time? I don't know exactly how to describe it, but I can say this, that it's just, if you take eternity past and eternity future, and you come in between it somewhere, an era or a period of something that's measured day by day. We call it time, don't we? You know, time is something that we focus upon so much in our lives. We're in a race against time. We're so involved with the things of time that our lives revolve around. And it seems like there's never enough time to get things done, don't it? We're in a rat race through this life. But you know, God is so involved in the time of our life. And God wants to be involved in our daily lives, in our decisions in life, and in the lives that we live. We measure our days. You know, we got days, we got weeks, we got months, we got years, right on down even to a minute of time. And even seconds. I made me a cup of coffee this morning, and my coffee maker just don't get it quite hot as I like it, and so I put it in the microwave I carry it right to the second, you know, I want to get it out. I run it about 50 seconds in the microwave, and I grab it out, and I sit down and drink my coffee. Time. Everything revolves around time in our life, don't it? But I want you to notice this morning that some things that the Bible tells us about the times of our life. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 2 tells me that there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Each one of us have that time appointed to us in our lives. But you know, in between that time of being born and the time that's appointed to us to die, God is so interested in a person being born again before the end of this life. And that's what the Word of God focuses on. It's a book given to mankind. It's God's love letter given to mankind, telling us don't waste your time and your opportunity as you journey through life to not see what God wants for you in your life. And so the Bible teaches us in Job chapter number 14 that man is born and full of life is full of trouble in our life, and God has set a bounds that we cannot pass. That He has determined our days, He's determined our months that we go through life. Everybody wants to live to be old, and then when you get to be old, you want to live to be older. Amen? We just kind of keep pushing it on out a little further and a little further, don't we? But I've seen people die very young. When I was about 20 years old, I had a real good friend here in Bowden, Georgia. Brother Howard knows him well. And I think it was you, Brother Howard, called me on New Year's Day, New Year's morning, told me that our friend had gone off to a party and got shot and killed. And you know, I've never spent another New Year's morning where I don't think about him. Life. God has set a bounds that we cannot pass. And so time is so very important, but God's timing is important in our lives. And I'm glad this morning that our God is always right on time, because one day our time will turn into eternity. It's so important for us to be ready for that day. Psalms 90 and 12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." It's a wise thing to be ready to meet God, because we're all going to meet Him one day, ready or not. And God has done so much. He's done everything that He can do to get you and me ready to meet Him. He sent His Son into this old world to march up Calvary's Hill, to hang there on a cross and pay my sin debt and your sin debt. God has sent the Holy Spirit into the world to draw and convict and bring men, women, boys, and girls to a place of repentance. What more could God do for us than what He's done? He paid it all. Amen? And so God's timing in our life, He's always interested in our lives. He's always involved in the times of our life. And may I say that God is always on time. And many times God will be just in time in your situation for what you need. What do I mean by that? Let me give you an example this morning. There was in your Bibles, there was a widow coming out of the city of Nain. There was a funeral procession there, and she had a son. Her only son was dead. They were carrying him to a graveyard to bury him. All hope seemed to be gone, but you know what? The timing of Christ coming into the city, as she was coming out of the city, He met her there, and He looked upon this woman who was grieved because she'd lost her only son. She was a widow, and Christ had compassion upon her, the Bible says, and He touched the bier, and he raised that young man from the dead. You see, the timing was perfect. If she'd have been an hour later, an hour earlier, she'd have missed Christ. So God is always on time. He's always just in time. When Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount and He came down off the mount, there was a man there that was a leper at the foot of the mount. And when he saw Christ come by, he fell at His feet and said, "Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou can make me clean." And Christ said, "I will." He reached out and touched him, and He cleansed him from his leprosy. Just perfect timing, wouldn't it? There's so many instances in God's Word. What about the thief on the cross that got saved as he hung there about to die? What if he'd have been crucified the day before or the day after? But no, God's timing was perfect for him, because Christ hung between him and the other thief there on the cross. I remember the first Sunday morning in March of 1974. Down yonder on the side of Blackjack Mountain, It seemed like death and hell was closing in upon my life. And I didn't know what to do. I felt like I was just one step away from hell. But you know what? God's timing that morning. God's timing. He had me somehow or another to go to church that Sunday morning. And that Sunday morning, God had a word for me. God had the Spirit of God to draw me. And when I said, "Lord, would you have me?" He saved me. Changed my life for all eternity. See, the devil told me I'd gone too far and I'd done too much that he'd never save me. But he was a liar. And he is a liar today. Let me tell you something this morning. If you're lost without Christ this morning, Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you and Jesus will save you. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time to come to Christ. Because it may be too late tomorrow. May be too late tomorrow. Our God is always on time. I want to show you this morning in this message here the first example I see in the Word of God where Jesus was just on time. The Lord was just on time. If you look over in your Bibles now, Genesis chapter number 2. I want to look at this thought this morning. The truth of man's creation. Listen to me now, especially you young people. I want you to listen to what the Word of God says right here. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, God didn't need no help from a monkey. Amen. He took the dust of the ground. You know, he spoke all things into existence up to this point, but I believe God took the dust of the ground and he formed man. He made man in his image and in his likeness. You can go get you a DNA test if you want to, but I can guarantee you one thing. You ain't going to find no monkey in your DNA. Amen. If you do, let me know, please. I know some folks down to Atlanta Zoo. We'll see if we can get you in a pen up there. God created man, and he didn't have to make man evolve from some lower creature. Man was perfect. When God formed Adam, he formed him in perfection. Man has devolved instead of evolving. So we see that God has created man right here. The first example right here I'm talking about of God being just in time. Just in time. Not only the truth of man's creation, but the task that man was given. Let's look at verse number 15. God has formed a garden now that he's put man into. Now verse 15 says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." God didn't just set old Adam down over here and say, "Adam, now just sit right here. I'll wait at the table for you." God put him to work. God wasn't a socialist. God was a capitalist. He gave him a job. And I still believe in men working today. Amen. I say amen. Amen. Working. That's the way God designed it to be. And so we see right there the task that man was given. God was involved in Adam's life right here. God created woman. And then in chapter number 3, as we move along here, I want you to see something in chapter number 3 right here. We know right here, we see a tree, and we see God's command. We know that God commanded Adam and Eve not to take of a certain tree. Look at what the Bible says right here. In the midst of the garden, there was a tree that God said, "Don't eat of it, because if you do, you're going to die." But notice right here, the tree, the command that God gave him in verse number, in chapter, I'm sorry, back up to chapter number 2 right here in verse number 17. God says this, the Lord God, in verse 16 says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. I want you to keep this phrase in mind right here that God gives in the Word of God. He says, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Pretty plain, isn't it? That's pretty literal, isn't it? I don't have to scratch my head and wonder what God said in that verse right there. He told him, don't eat of this tree. For in the day, the very day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. No doubt. No doctors. No medicines. You're going to die. But you know what happened in chapter number 3? There was a tempter that came along. The devil. You know what he did? He focused upon God's word to get Adam and to get Eve, rather, right here, to doubt the word of God. That's one of the devil's weapons today, isn't it? We live in a day and age when man's knowledge has increased, but the Bible tells me that his knowledge has increased. He becomes in a place where he thinks he's smarter than God. And the Bible's old-fashioned. And man is in this day and hour never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because he got so much worldly knowledge. Amen? But anyway, you know this story very well, how the devil tempted Eve and how she looked and she lusted and she took of that fruit and she ate of it and she gave unto Adam and they plunged into sin and to depravity in their lives. They failed. And it plunged us all. We're all born sinners because of the original sin of Adam here. And as we look at this story now, where I really want you to see right here now is God's timing. Just in time. Just in the, you ever heard that phrase, just in the nick of time? That's the way Adam and Eve found themselves right here. They found themselves fallen into sin and into temptation and into condemnation right here. Because God said the day that you take of it, you're going to surely die. The temptation and the fall. But notice the timing right here. There's no accidents with God. No accidents. And I'm thankful this morning that we've got a God that's interested in the times of our life. You may think sometimes when a hard situation comes upon you and you don't know what to do, and you know, God's always interested in those times of your life, and He's always available that we can call upon Him. He's an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And we all have troubles, don't we? And let me say this, we all have failures, don't we? We have a forgiving, loving God today that we can call upon Him and we can get our relationship with Him restored. If we're lost, you can get saved today if you realize you're lost and you want to be saved. I'm talking about God's timing. Time is short. We know that we're living in the last of the church ages today, that Jesus is coming back soon. So I want you to think about God's timing in our lives this morning. Just as God's timing was so important in the lives of Adam and Eve right here. He said in 2 and 17, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They've now took it. Then this day that they took of this fruit that they were not supposed to take of. I want you to notice this right here now. In chapter 3, in verse number 8, the Bible says they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Notice this phrase now. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now it's the cool of the day, the very day that they took that fruit and they're under the sentence of death. The cool of the day tells me, you know, when the day starts to cool off in a hot summer day, when the sun goes down and the day gets a little further and further toward the midnight hour. Adam and Eve were facing death. They were under the sentence because of the sin that they just committed. But God was just in time. He was just in time to come to them. Notice, they had sewed fig leaves together and tried to cover themselves. Fig leaves won't work. There's a lot of fig leaves today. Amen? You can try the fig leaf of church membership. That won't get you to heaven. That won't take away your sin. You can try water baptism. That won't wash away your sins. Jesus didn't say you must be a Baptist. Jesus didn't say you must be a Methodist. Jesus didn't say you must be a Catholic. Jesus didn't say you must be Presbyterian. Jesus didn't say you must be religious, but Jesus said you must be born again or you'll not see the kingdom of God. So Adam and Eve, they were in a situation where they couldn't cover up. They couldn't do anything to help themselves to take away the sin that they had committed. But the Lord came along just in time, in the cool of the day. You see, that day after they took of that fruit, they'd worked all day sowing fig leaves together, trying to cover their sins where God would accept them. Notice this. The Lord came to them. They didn't go to him, but he came to them. Matter of fact, they tried to hide themselves from the presence of God. Oh my goodness, my goodness. I remember when I was lost. I didn't want to go to church. Church scared me. If I went to church and I felt conviction, man, I couldn't wait to get out. Then if I come to church and I didn't feel conviction, it scared me more. I was afraid God would done give up on me. You see, I'd run, I'd hide, I'd try to do this or that. I'd been baptized, I was a church member. But I knew within my heart, if I died, I'd go to a devil's hell. I knew I'd never been born again. I knew there'd never been a change in my life. I was faking it. Living like the devil. Adam and Eve was a good example of me. I was trying to hide it from everybody. If I'd have died, they'd have looked in the church books and said, well, he was a member. He's in heaven. I'd have been in the devil's hell screaming for mercy, but there would have been no mercy there for me. But I thank God that he came to me just in time. Like I said a while ago, that first Sunday morning in March of 1974, time was running out for me. I felt like I was just a step out of hell. But he came to me just in time. God came and God called. He said, Adam, where art thou? Let me ask you something this morning, folks. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at today? Time's running short. Where are you at with God today? Where are you at with your soul salvation today? I can tell you one thing. You're either saved or you're lost. Brother Jerry, I didn't have no doubts that I was lost. I didn't say, well, I think I'm saved. No. I knew I didn't have nothing but church membership. And I knew that wouldn't hold up if I died and left this world. Where art thou, Adam? Ain't you glad God called you one day? Ain't you glad that he come to where you were? I wasn't looking for him, but he come a looking for me. And he called me, he convicted me, and he drew me into a place of repentance. You see, when God came convicting me, I didn't think nothing about heaven. I was thinking about hell. Because I knew I was just a heartbeat out of hell. But he saved me and gave me the hope of heaven. And he does that for all mankind, doesn't he? He called. Why did God call Adam? Adam and Eve had failed. I mean, they had failed. They'd listened to the devil and they had failed. And I examined my life when I was lost. Man, I was wicked. Man, was I ever wicked. But you know what? Just like God called Adam, just like God came to where they were, you know why? He cared. He loved them. He loved them. Ain't you glad this morning that the Lord loves old sinners today? He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come looking for good people. He come looking for lost people. And if you get lost, there's hope for you to get saved. You got to realize your lost condition. And realize Jesus loves you. Jesus will save you. You see, they could run, but they couldn't hide. And thank God that he came, he convicted, he confronted Adam. He asked him, what have you done, Adam? Have you eaten of the fruit? He said, I did eat. I did it. I'm guilty. You got to realize, you got to become guilty before you can get saved. You got to realize that God wants to save you. God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. Not one person that's ever lived has God wanted to die and go to hell. He sent his son into this world to save lost mankind. Not only as God came to man, Adam and Eve there, he got them to confess their sins. But you know what God did? You'll find a little further over right here. He says these words to Adam. Verse number 19 of chapter number 3. He said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art. Unto dust shalt thou return. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Listen to this now. Unto Adam also, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. This is the first bloodshed for sinful man you'll find in the Word of God. God shed the first blood, and on Calvary's cross for sin, God shed the last blood that'll ever be required for the sins of mankind. He clothed them. And that clothing that God clothed Adam and Eve with, it pointed way down through the hundreds of years to a hill called Mount Calvary, where God would walk up that hill and give his life for the sins of the whole world. I say, what a Savior. God came to them just in time. Just in time. The cool of the day. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the day was about to end. Adam and Eve was about to die. But the love of God, He came to them. They confessed. God covered them. Adam lived to be 930 years old. But you know what? He died. It don't matter how old you live in this life. You're going to face God one day. That's just a fact. Nobody likes to think about that, but it's a fact. I'm going to ask you something this morning. They come to the piano, bring us a song of invitation this morning. Are you ready to meet God? I mean, really. You better be thinking about it. This is serious. Time keeps moving forward. Time don't wait on nobody. As I said earlier, somewhere between the time we're born and the time we die, God gives man a chance to be saved, to be born again, born from above. You don't have to die and go to hell. The midnight hour was approaching Adam and Eve. I wonder when our midnight hour is. Look about this house. There's probably 200 people, 250 people in here today. One of these days we'll enter in here for our last time. One by one we'll go out and meet God. Young, old, middle-aged, I don't know. I don't know the time. But I do know this. Today's the day of salvation. God's timing. There may be somebody in here this morning that God is speaking to. You better heed. When God speaks, you better heed. You better listen to His voice. The Bible says today, if thou hear His voice, harden not your heart. You better be thankful if God is dealing with you. If you're lost, and you know you're lost, you better be thankful that God sends conviction your way, that He's dealing with your heart. Hell's real. Hell is a real, literal place. And so is heaven. God offers you this morning a chance at heaven. I wonder today. The time for this message this morning is over. Stand with us around the house this morning.